welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday morning edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in Baltimore, Maryland. Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope you'll have the opportunity to stay with us for the next 45 minutes or so as we explore this all-important theme and subject this week. Of course, this week is dedicated to church life, and today we'll be talking specifically about church attendance. And I think that when we say that word, a lot of people have the mindset that it's, you know, fulfilling an obligation, fulfilling their Christian duty, making sure that they're there, you know, part of their ritual, part of their weekly program. But it's so much more than that, and we want to explore that together with you, our listeners, today. A quick reminder, of course, that you can join us. The phone lines will remain open if you want to give us a call and weigh in, share your thoughts about this subject. Please feel free to do so. Here are the numbers. Toll-free in all of North America, 800-338-7060. And the local number right here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. And looking forward to having you participate that way. We have the chat available for you as well. For those of you that are listening and watching online, you can weigh in that way, ask a question, or share your comment as well. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio today, back from a missions trip, a church camp in Finland, it's Pastor Tom Schaller. So we'll be your hosts for the next hour or so, and we hope that you will stay tuned with us and participate in the broadcast today. Church attendance. I think one of the passage that comes to my mind, Pastor Schaller, I'm sure it does for you as well, is the passage in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but encouraging, exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. That seems to set the groundwork for our theme this week. And we can talk an awful lot about the many, many reasons why church attendance is so important. But from the most practical way of thinking in my life is, I can't imagine not assembling with the body of Christ. Jesus himself said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." So just the presence of God when you're gathering together with the body of Christ is more than enough justification to come together. And then add to that the worship, the fellowship, the common link that we have as believers with one another. this list can go on, and we'll talk about a lot of those principles today. But I'm so glad that early on in our faith, coming together on a regular basis with the body of Christ was established, and now it's a part of our lives. I can't even imagine not assembling with believers on a regular basis several times a week.
Mm-hmm. We actually have some good material here in front of us, Pastor Love, on the subject. And I have here Teddy Roosevelt wrote in the Ladies' Home Journal in 1917. The article that he wrote was, "Shall We Do Away with the Church?" And he gives 10 reasons for going to church and the benefits. And these are just on the surface of things. I think he is acknowledging the nature of it, the connection that people have in the church, the good works that follow in church life, his stimulation, activity, the message in the church. Some really good stuff from one of our former presidents. So it'd be great to revisit it. Now, Pastor Love, you might say, and you've heard the argument, well, times have changed, you know, it's not needed and that kind of thing. And we are confronting those ideas and using the scripture and our own experience to say otherwise.
Yeah. In fact, yeah, I would agree with that. Times have changed. They've gotten much worse. Yeah. All the more reason to gather together. And, you know, when believers come together in a church setting, there's the proclamation of the gospel. And in a world that's saturated with bad news and calamity and the threat of war and economic collapse, I think we could stand to hear some more good news.
Yeah, you know, the way we think is doctrine means that we establish a reference in our hearts and minds that's higher than us. Doctrine, yeah, as taught in the scriptures, so we have the right worldview. Well, today, if you say you have the right worldview, you know, you are, you know, it's presupposing that you are arrogant and blind and so on. But actually, it isn't like that. It's more, you know, who has the best way of thinking about life, where it is inherently coherent, like what we are believing fits in the world. It works. And I would like to learn that. And I didn't know it until I was born again, till I put my personal trust in Christ. And then we were given a new heart, new spirit, and a capacity to understand what God is saying. And what is the world like? What is it made? What how is it? What is our purpose in it? And how do we relate to life in the good times and the bad times? So it only makes sense that if I participate in a church where that kind of message is shared, then I'm going to benefit.
Absolutely. We hear often people saying, well, you know, one of the biggest reasons why I don't attend church on a regular basis is the hypocritical nature of some people within the church. And I keep hearing about all of these abuses that happen, and that just seems to give them their justification for not coming together. But I often look at it this way. What would my life be like? What would my life look like if I didn't go to church on a regular basis? Mm-hmm. And all I had was to listen to the, well, I like the way it's described in the book of Jonah, lying vanities. If I'm just occupied with all of the lies and all of the emptiness that's in this world, I'm going to forsake the mercy that I need to, you know, that fits in my life, as you said, mm-hmm. and that gives me the capacity to deal with whatever difficulties come along. Because I can't imagine if I'm not going to confront my difficulties, my challenges, my problems, my trouble, my tests, my trials, without God, without his message, without his people, I'm going to have to turn to something else. I'm mm-hmm. going to have to find a way to numb it all, whether through illegal or legal drugs or alcohol or some form of sublimation. I oftentimes think just the opposite. What would my life be like if I didn't go to church? I know what it's like going to church, and it's a blessing, and it's fruitful, and there's peace, and there's joy, and there's fellowship. But if I didn't, I can't even imagine the calamity that might come into my life.
You know, when somebody says, you know, the people in the church are hypocrites, I don't understand why that has much to do with me. Like, the point more is, am I a hypocrite? Now, another point is the pastor a hypocrite? You know, if he is not, if he's a generally, he's a good man, and I'll read from Teddy Roosevelt here. That there are, I know there are, I know all the excuses. I know that one can worship the Creator and dedicate oneself to good living in a grove of trees or by a running brook or in one's own house, just as well in church. But I also know, as a matter of cold fact, that the average man does not worship or dedicate himself this way. If he strays away from church, he does not spend his time in good works or lofty meditation. He looks over the colored supplement of the newspaper. He may not hear a good sermon at church, but unless he's very unfortunate, he will hear a sermon by a good man who, with his good wife, is engaged all the week long in a series of wearing, humdrum, and important tasks for making hard lives a little easier. So I would say, you know, we do know those excuses, and the church is filled with hypocrites. It's like, really? I mean, Is the pastor a hypocrite? I don't think so. I wouldn't want to be in a church that was that way. But I want to believe that he's doing his best. He's praying for the service. He's in the Word and sharing a message from the Word. Therefore, the hypocrites, either they may go away or they change. And then if they change, they may still have some hypocrisy, but they can change again. They can change again. So why wouldn't I care more about the nature of the pulpit, the nature of the leadership, the efforts made to take a bad group of people and turn them into a good group of people? And then why wouldn't I be part of that to help that process go along? Why wouldn't I be praying for the people that are hypocrites to see their lives change? Because the gospel is the power of God, and it can change people from glory to glory. Mm.
As you say, as you shared that, it makes me think of the fact that sometimes we approach it, church attendance, like, okay, what am I going to get out of it? Mm. What's in it for me? How will I benefit?
Yeah.
But maybe an even better approach is, how can I bless someone? How can I minister to someone? Whose needs can I discover in the lives of others that I can help and make a difference in? And that's an even better approach. And yes. If you have that approach toward church, you can imagine that would kind of find its way throughout your life. And then you'll take that same mentality to the workplace, to the classroom, to the neighborhood, and you'll have a ministry mm-hmm. to people.
Yeah, you know, when pastoring in Finland years ago, there were people on our team who wanted to bring something to the table, who came because they wanted to participate and help people. They wanted to pray for people. They wanted to have a word in season, a word of encouragement, and direct people. So that's, you know, as a pastor, you appreciate those kind of people. That you're with me in the very small beginning of this work, and you're supportive, and you're talking like this. This is very encouraging. So to go back to the name of the program, it is why should I go to church? And unfortunately, there is a falling away, but still there's a large number of Americans. I have some statistics here. 20% of Americans attend church every week. So that's a pretty high number in a way. Like, you count five, one of the five goes every week. 41% of Americans in the monthly, they attend monthly. 57% are seldom or never in religious service attendance. Regular church attendance has steadily declined since the turn of the century. Okay, but I think any of that could be reversed, and that's what we're talking about today. I have seen people leave, not go anywhere, and I've seen their lives become more and more difficult.
Yeah.
Can you give some example of that?
Without mentioning names, yeah, I've seen it too. And it, to me, it seems so obvious. It seems like simple math. If you look at the decisions that you've made to withdraw from church attendance, to withdraw from gathering together with the body of Christ, and then seeing what has happened, that in some people's lives, I know that they're spiraling out of control. Their families are breaking down. The marriages are in trouble. They're turning to other means to be able to just to cope with life, because life is difficult. Life is filled with pressures all the time. There's no escaping that. But I think that when we come together with the body of Christ, the love. I mean, this innate desire, and it's built into our DNA to love and to be loved. The best place for that to happen is the body of Christ. Because again, set aside the fact that there may be some hypocrites. I mean, that's like saying there are sinners in that church. Well, of course, they're all sinners. But That's why we need the gospel. That's why Christ came. And sinners, he changes them by his grace into saints.
Yes.
And then, you know, there's honesty, there's transparency, there's integrity. These are the things that we're looking to find in other people's lives.
Yeah, you know, if you take a group of professional people, maybe on the surface you have integrity, hard work, education, literacy, sensibility, some very good morality, like very good qualities. But actually, if you look closer, it may not be as pretty as it appears. And then on the other hand, you take born-again believers who've come off the street, or middle-class, upper-class people, and you might say, well, what does that church look like? You know, what, is there any lying or deceitfulness or failure and so on? And there's two ways to measure it. Measure it based on that perfect class of people that I was describing, you know, that professional perfect class where you don't see any problem, and compare it with those people, and you say you have like a lot of failure and a rough, rugged-looking group of people. But if you measure the rough, rugged-looking group of people from what they could be, they could be in homeless, they could be in jail, they could be depressed, on medications, and so on. But they aren't. They're being helped. They're being ministered to. They're being changed from glory to glory. Contrarily, that group of people that is, you know, we could say perfect, what is happening in them? Are they closet addicted? You know, do they have addictions, you know, that nobody knows about? Do they have depression and such things? It's like, maybe not. And great for them. But if I don't know Christ, then, and I don't have a spiritual life, then actually that is vanity as well. So you have the best of man is vanity in Psalm 39 or 36. And then, of course, the absolute failure of people in life is also emptiness or sinful. So what we're talking about is a fellowship with all kinds of people that is spiritual and is helping people on all levels of society. Mm.
And you touched upon the fact that the potential for change, this is what a lot of people, we hear this all the time, people want change. They're not satisfied with the way their lives are headed or presently at this condition now. They're looking for change. You know, God changes us, and we know people's lives who have been changed through the new birth, but then through consistent, faithful church attendance. Mm-hmm. We're going, as you said, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from strength to strength. That really happens. It's happened in our lives, and it happens in the lives of others that regularly attend local assemblies. And I can't imagine that anybody would want to forsake that kind of an opportunity. And as you mentioned, the devil's plan is always to isolate us. Mm-hmm. And this helps to answer the question that's been posed. What about online? What if I just listen on the computer? Well, I think if you don't have any other option because of, let's say, your physical health or your inability to be able to come to a local church, we understand that. But there's no substitute with actually showing up. And isn't there a built-in sense of accountability when you do that? Mm-hmm. You're seeing others, you're being with others, you're presenting yourself. And I just love the accountability that's present also in a local assembly.
If you go to your paper here, Pastor Love, on why children and teens need to come to church, this is, for me, a really good a list, a good pile of material. Kids need role models and mentors. Teens need to know they're part of the body. they need to be to see the importance of the pastor and the pulpit in life, because they'll grow up and they need that. They need to see others worship and learn to worship with others. It helps teens see they are part of something bigger than themselves. They learn to relate to people different from them. It's better use of their time than TV, Spotify, video games, and sports events. It encourages older ones to see the coming generations in the church. They learn to participate in mission, in prayer, in vision. They will be with adults who see them and are led to pray for them. The teens will have role models that they can touch and listen to. Teens can learn to talk to adults. They can also learn to minister to younger children. Maybe you want to comment on any of those, Pastor.
All of them are so vital and so important. We see it happening. Imagine young children or teenagers never seeing a role model like they could discover in church. Somebody that has joy, somebody that's characterized by peace, somebody whose life has direction and purpose. What are they left with? Maybe somebody they see on YouTube or somebody that they watch online or an entertainer or a rock star. How sad that is, that young people would be left to those kinds of role models rather than what they could find in the church.
Yes.
And you know, Pastor Scheller, this happened to me as a young person. I was not yet a believer, but friends, we gathered together one weekend. We all stayed up late one night, and at the time, most of us were from a particular denomination. We grew up in that denomination. But this one friend of ours said, let's go to my church. Now, we didn't know that it was an evangelical church. It was a small local church in Lexington, Massachusetts. So we all agreed to get up and to go to his church. And I remember we did not look well. I mean, we were dressed, you know, ragged clothing. We looked like we spent most of the night on the streets. And we all went into this local church. I was ashamed. I was embarrassed. And yet we were loved. And I will never forget how much those people loved me. Because when that service ended, I wanted to run out. I was so ashamed at what I had done the night before, what I looked like. And I was received. They said how happy I was that I was there. I was overwhelmed by the love. Imagine young people never having the opportunity to come into the body of Christ and to receive God's love through his people that way. That church attendance, even though I didn't even give my life to Christ and hadn't yet up until that point, that love, that kind of love that was so real and so genuine, impacted my life forever. I'll never forget it. And I thought to myself, if there are people like this in other churches, I think I've got to find my way there.
Oh,
and eventually, it happened.
Yes, yes. Very good story.
Yeah. Teenagers, imagine wondering, you know, who am I? You know, what am I supposed to do with my life? They could find out what their role is, what their place is. We have young people, we have teenagers in our ministry. They love to sing. Well, they found out that they could participate in our church services. They could play an instrument. They could get up and lead worship. And we see them do this on a regular basis. And it's almost like you can see when they do it, wow, I have found my place. This is where I belong. I could sing, but I would never have anybody who would even want to listen to me. But these people, I'm able to lead worship in my local church. That's amazing.
Yes, it is. Very good.
We've seen it happen.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Teens can meet missionaries. They can hear stories. The people that they are with at the church may never talk about. You take a teen and put him with a group of people. Is anybody in the group going to talk about suicide, pornography, or depression, or are they going to say, you know, I hate life or something? Actually, they're going to be with people that are going to say, you know, I never think of suicide. Life is so great to live. I'm alive. I'm so glad to be alive. You know, generally, that's how it is. We're not talking about our sin. not interested in it, but we're more talking about faith, about loving people, serving. Let's go to another country and bring the gospel of Christ to people and see what Jesus will do in Laos or China or Japan or the Philippines. I mean, teenagers exposed to that kind of talking and having faith and learning on their own in their heart. Like, where will that happen? How will it happen? You know, I'm playing soccer on a Sunday, or playing a golf game, or going to a health club, or worse, a bar room, or on the street with people aren't going anywhere. So why wouldn't I find, as a family, a good church where I can bring and introduce my kids to this other way of thinking, where we are grounded in the doctrine and learning learning to live in love. Mm.
There's just no place to experience that quite like a local church.
Yeah.
And then families have the opportunity to come together. And how amazing it is for young children or preteens or teenagers to see their parents going to church on a regular basis. Some parents could say, well, you know, we did that, and then my children wandered away when they became at a certain age. They were no longer. That's okay. You know, when you make that investment in the lives of your children, you're putting something in them that's eternal. It may be that they turn their backs on it for a time, but we've seen so many return. Because, you know, you did the right thing when, as a parent, by saying, we're going to church. In our house, we go to church. In our house, you know, we don't miss church. And that's made a difference in people's lives. Seen it. Even the ones that wander away years later could say, you know what? I'm coming back. And, you know, we're bringing our children now.
Well, you do a great job, and Camp Life is coming up pretty soon.
Yes, it is.
And are you excited about it?
Very much so.
Really?
Even this is going to be the 40th year that I've gone to Camp Life. But I'm just as excited about it today, maybe even more so than I was 40 years ago, because I know what it's capable of doing. And, of course, there's an even more incentive because I've got – my grandchild is coming for the first time. She's 8 years old.
Oh.
And she's so excited about it. All she's ever heard about is Camp Life this, Camp Life that. Now she's coming. And then her cousin found out in Beverly, Massachusetts, that she's going. So she's coming as well. So there's, you know, I'm thrilled. I'm excited of all the opportunities they have to, you know, do everything that's available for them at camp, but the fellowship, those campfires, the presence of God, the prayer, the worship, all of that makes an eternal impact on their lives.
Now, what would we say about going to church? I'm a single. I'm not a parent. I'm not married. I'm a single person. What about that? What about me? Why would I go to church?
Because you need to be built up. You need to be loved. You need to know that God has a provision for you in your single state. And who knows that you might find the person that God has ordained for your life in church.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that happen an awful lot, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, turning to being a believer and saying, my expectation for a life mate is I'm going to get it from the world. I don't think you want to go there. The last thing you want as a young person in terms of contemplating marriage is to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever or somebody that might just profess to be a believer but says, I'm not really interested in church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Too many risks.
What about a couple, a married couple, no children, but they go into church? Why should they go?
To sustain that marriage, right? I mean, yes. Sometimes the answer for a troubled marriage is to go to church.
Yes.
It really is. You know, there's a lot of counseling that happens in our culture today, more than we've ever seen in the history of our nation. And yet, I think the best counseling is in a church service. I can think back even in my own life, maybe wishing to speak to a pastor about something that troubles me or troubles my family or my marriage, and then just going to church because it's the habit I've developed. It's the discipline that we brought into our lives. And then discovering in church the provision for whatever it is that troubles me.
Yeah, mostly it's the message. And let's say the message isn't that good, okay? But I'm with very good people, hopefully, or people that are changing. I can see other couples. I can adopt a role model, and I can watch them. I could talk to them. I meet them. I can talk to them. I mean, it's a reference. It's a place of resource. It's a place, if God has ordained the church in my life to be a place where I will have a refuge, an education, training, an example, then why not take it up? Take it up, right? And relate and bring it home. Bring something home with me that I got from there. But if you leave me to myself and maybe my TV and the social media and whatever other way that I'm walking in the woods or whatever, what kind of real content will I be getting, and will it be enough for me? So people is really a resource. Like people, God has ordained for people to be in my life. Remember when Joseph was in Egypt, and then his father Jacob came down, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Could your father bless me?" And Joseph said, "Yes." And he brought Jacob to him, and Pharaoh said, "Could you bless me?" So that's a blessing by association. Mm. Like, just bless me. I know who you are, who your son is, and you are the one that's blessed of God. So bring that blessing to me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Blessing by association is so crucial. And over the years, Pastor Shallot, you know, I've also observed people who are very faithful in attending church services. And then, you know, the job changes and the job schedule changes, and then they have to make adjustments. But I've also noticed that people that say, they might even go to their employer and say, "Listen, I attend church on a regular basis, and this schedule is really going to interfere with that." I know people that have even said, "You know what? I'm going to change my job, because I can't afford to miss church attendance." And I think that every time that people have done that, and I've even witnessed in some cases employers saying, "You know what? I will work with you on that, because I need you and the character that you have in this workplace. You make a difference here." And the employer senses that it's because they faithfully, regularly attend church, and it's made a difference in their lives, and they want those kind of people in the job place. It's amazing.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. This person can be trusted. They're hardworking. They're honest. Things won't get stolen out of the office, and they'll be on time, and they're conscientious. That's a good worker. I need those kind of people. They need to go to church on Sunday. Okay, we can work that out, but I need them.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah, that's the blessing by association, right? That's Joseph in Potiphar's home. Everything seems to turn to gold because he's there, he's present. And I think the same thing could be said. And I know that when I went to Bible college, I was confronted with that, needed to get job, needed to get work, needed to provide for my family. And initially, when I got there, it just wasn't happening. Then finally, someone said, "Okay, we can hire you." And then when they told me the hours, then I couldn't go to Bible college. And then I thought to myself, the whole reason why I'm here in Lenox, Massachusetts at the time was to go to Bible college. So I told them, it just seemed so irrational and unreasonable that I would refuse the job that I needed to provide for my family because it conflicted with going to Bible college. But I told them that. And they said, "Well, we are offering you the job." And I said, "I just can't take it. I'm here. I moved here specifically to go to Bible college. Well, they called back an hour later and they said, well, when can you work?
Oh, really?
And they changed the schedule so that I was able to work there and go to Bible college.
Oh.
I think that God just honors that kind of a principle in people's lives.
Yes. So you have married couples without children. You have then the young adults, and then you have, what would you say about young adults?
I think
I guess what's the age, 20 to 30, 35?
Yeah,
I mean, young adults.
I think sociologically speaking, you know, you want a sociology that reflects your theology. You want to be able to be in the presence of like-minded people, like-minded souls. It's healthy. Mm-hmm. Spiritually speaking, you're going to grow. You're going to flourish. God's going to plant you there with these other like-minded souls, and you're going to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be a healthy contributor, not only in that church body of believers, but also in society itself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a sociology that reflects your theology, that's a win-win situation.
You know, if you are a young adult and you're not sure where you fit in, but you go to the church and then you're reading good books, you are having good conversations, it keeps you out of trouble.
Yeah.
When you learn to read your Bible and say prayers and you start to serve people, the vacuum of the human heart ends up being filled with the Spirit, and you learn to be a servant. You know, as a young adult, you learn to serve, because that's the nature of the church. The church, is actually like Christ, a servant. And, that's a great way to live. Then when you live another 50 years as a servant, you can say at the end, well, I'm glad for the training that I got up front because I went to the church. But if you leave the church and then you never become a servant and you don't learn to be a servant, then life is a lot harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you look at the lives. And just to give an illustration, yesterday on the broadcast, Pastor Barry Quirk, you know, as a young person, he stepped into the fellowship of his local assembly, and what a difference it's made. He's the principal of the Greater Grace Christian Academy here in our ministry. You have Jen Lynch, who's your secretary and just serves the body of Christ in so many different ways. Her husband, Pat Lynch, the athletic director. These were all young people who, you know, at one time lacked a sense of identity, but found it when they came into the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they serve today is just impacting another generation, if not more generations. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
We've seen the fruit of it.
The last group we could talk about are the elderly people. The people, maybe they are, you know, at the other end of life. And what do you say about that? What the observations that we make in our church about that category? There's the widows, and then retired folks, and some physically sick and elderly. And what would you say about them?
I would say that they are the people's shoulders that we stand on. They're the pillars, and I look at them and think, if you're the pillars, I'm the caterpillar. You're holding up the church, I'm crawling in. These are the people that have paved the way for us, and they've made such a difference in our lives, and their value, it goes without saying. Because of them, we can look at them and say to ourselves, if we're struggling, I can make it. Look at them. They've persevered. They've gone through struggles. They've had challenges, but they've overcome them by God's grace. And I think that one of the greatest things about them is that you always see them present in church. Their faithfulness gives you an example to follow.
Mm-hmm. And they pray for the young generation. They pray for the young people. They love them. We are in one house with several generations in the same house, and from the mother's room to a toddler, nursery to the toddler to the young, you know, 5-year-old, 10-year-old, and so on, and all the way to the 90-year-old and the 100-year-old. And to think that in the same house you have many generations, but we have something very much in common, but we're at different places in life. But we are coming to the same resource. And we have hewn out, like Jeremiah says, you have forsaken, you've done two evils. You have forsaken me, the fountain, and then you've hewn out broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Yeah. So we switch that around. We have come to the fountain, the resource, and we have a reservoir that is not broken but can hold water.
Mm. Amen.
Yeah.
We could talk about all of the reasons why it's so beneficial to come to church. And again, the other side of it is, you know, what would my life be like if I didn't?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you don't have to use your imagination to a great extent to realize it could be a real mess.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a reminder to us that that's what perhaps in some cases our lives were like. They were a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But because of God's message, and we didn't hear that. We might have heard the gospel preached to us on the streets or through a gospel track, but what built our faith? What has strengthened our souls? What gives us the ability to endure over the long haul? It's regular church attendance.
Mm-hmm.
It's hearing God's message on a consistent basis. And we don't have to succumb to all of the lying vanities that are in our culture today.
And what would you say if the message isn't particularly like good? It's like the message isn't particularly like exceptional. What would you say about that?
It's God's message. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
The power of the gospel is in the gospel.
Yeah.
That's what changes us.
Yes.
And if you can submit to that, God's got something for you.
Mm-hmm.
I would say anybody that has any sense of expectation from God at all, they're going to come away from every church service and something from God has been imparted to them.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, because it seems that God has ordained the church to be this way, that it isn't like soulish, it's spiritual, it isn't entertainment and amusement. And Americans crave entertainment.
Yes.
They crave that special demonstration performance. But this is something else. We must learn to be worshipers of God and go to church as a worshiper of God and to put him in high regard and then listen to his word and embrace it, to practice it and understand what is it saying. And my life will be blessed by God.
Amen to that. Well, friends, we hope that we have encouraged you in relationship to this theme that is invaluable. You know, someone asked the question, well, what if we missed meals on a regular basis? We'd be weak, anemic, unhealthy, sick, unable to fulfill our obligations, responsibilities, unable to go to work, unable to take care of the people that God has called us to take care of. Well, if you neglect your physical body, we know what happens. Let's not neglect our souls, our spirits. Let's stay strong, stay healthy. That happens through regular church attendance. We want to remind you, our listeners here in the greater Baltimore area, we have our church services coming up on Sunday at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 6:30 p.m., and you are welcome to come out and be fed and receive the bread of life right from God through his Holy Spirit to strengthen your soul. Thanks so much for joining us. Don't forget, friends, to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Until tomorrow at the same time, may God bless you.